Welcome to the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. We do not take that for granted. Whether it's live on the radio on Sunday or if you're listening to us via podcast, we very much appreciate your support on this show. I'm Troy Skinner, the host of this show and the pastor of Household of Faith in Christ, online at householdoffaithinchrist.com. Of course, you can connect with the Faith Debate at the radio station's website as well. That's WFMD.com. And we have an esteemed guest on the panel again this week. His name is Dan Cox. Maybe you've heard of him. I don't know. He gets out every once in a while, and he has signs out there. There was a story out there years ago that he was peeing on signs. Maybe we'll ask him about that. I don't know anything about that story.
False, and fake news.
Yeah, that was a story that people were stealing your sign, and so you were going to pee on them so they wouldn't steal them anymore. Fake news.
haters and liars.
I was going to save that as like a kicker question at the very end, but we got it out of the way now. Anyway, that's Dan Cox. You can find about his candidacy to represent the 6th District in Maryland for the United States House of Representatives, coxforcongress.org. Daniel Razvi, you can connect with him and the church that meets at Imran's House through conqueredbylove.org. And David Forsey, you can only connect with him through me. Sorry. I'm like his gatekeeper. I'm his secretary. I'm a glorified secretary.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, anyway, Dan Cox has he's been a delegate in the state of Maryland. He ran for governor last cycle, was the Republican nominee in that race, and now he's running for what was David Trone's seat in Congress. And I want to talk about things specific to the race a little bit before things are out. But we had some things that came up at the end of last week's show, so let's start there.
You talked about this a little bit at the end of the show last time, Dan. But, you know, we've had a massive shift in the conservative movement. I don't want to say Republican Party necessarily, but it's the conservative, patriot-minded Americans. Massive shift over the last several years where in 2016 you had such an overwhelming support for conservative ideas that even Amish, who never voted in any election, were turning out in tens of thousands to vote for Trump. And we've gone from that, a complete 180, such that there's so many jaded people now because of belief about cheating that went on or whatever, rigged and so on. There's and people who believe, rightly or wrongly, a whole list of things that go along with that, that are very patriotic and have always voted in every election for the last 50 years, who have now vowed to never vote again because there is no point because it's all rigged and it's all a farce and it's all just a game and it's all predetermined and why would I even bother? You know, I should just, if I'm a Christian, I should be still preaching the gospel and trying to build his kingdom that way, but why would I ever want to be involved in politics or vote again? And so you have that, I think is a very large portion of conservatives who feel that way, who may agree with you on every single issue, but think there's no point at all. So what would you say to those, especially those Christians that kind of feel that way, but just anybody that's more of a conservative mindset that is kind of jaded right now?
Well, it's a fair question, but I would say that think of their children and grandchildren. Think of the fact that the Constitution has stood for a very short amount of time. We haven't been around very long as a country. And countries that have stood firm and have come through severe trials that are still upholding certain values that we would also want to uphold for our kids didn't, you know, have their people throw the towel in completely. They might have had, some of them might have had to escape, and that's how we got America. But at the same time, think of their families that stayed back, that continue to carry on, and they have won the day. I think when you look at our Constitution, if you do nothing, you are allowing, like I said last week, the communists that wanted to destroy this country to light a fire to that Constitution. And if you do nothing, if you sit down and you just simply shrug, this is not a game. This is not the WWE. This is your children's future. And we must, if we care about the, especially as Christians, about the mandate to be a salt and light, if we are going to obey Christ, then we must be involved. And the way to legally be involved is to vote. And yes, there might be accusations that we're not there yet. And I agree with those because, look, I have Indian friends. By the way, we had a very large, and we still do have a lot of great Indians for Dan Cox, as well as other Asian Americans for Dan Cox. And they tell me they have escaped China, they've escaped India, or come from India, and they tell me they don't want America to become, trampling upon the rights that they love here because there's no caste system. But one thing they brought out to me that was very interesting was they said, but here we are in India with, what, a billion people or more, 1.5 billion, I can't remember the exact number, but it's a large number of people. And we don't have these vote fraud issues that you guys have, that America has. Why? Because we have voter ID. We have, even I think they take fingerprints when they vote. I mean, they're really, really strict per vote. And look at France. You know, they have in-person paper ballot hand counting. Look at Canada, same thing. Why? Because they know that shenanigans will happen if you especially use electronics. It's very easy to manipulate. And they don't want foreign entities or alleged three-letter agencies accessing their voting machines, so they go hand count only. We need to get to that, yes, but we don't get to that by sitting back and pretending that we're a pious Christian on our little couch.
So is there a third option? I mean, because there are people that say, well, it's already over. Nothing mm-hmm. I do will ever make one shred of difference. And then there's other people say, well, no, I mean, there's isolated areas, but, you know, you still should continue the fight, and hopefully it won't get that bad, as you say it is already. Is there a third option where, like, even if it's kind of too late, that it's still worth doing something or trying to do something? I mean,
it's definitely, I mean, our country's worth fighting for. I was amazed at the thousand-year history of Christian civilization in England. Not perfect. Severe problems. And Oliver Cromwell, who's somebody I would disavow on certain issues, particularly his hatred for Christmas. Okay, I'm a big Christmas fan. But where
happy
is,
holidays for you.
Where is Christmas. He buried? He's buried Westminster Abbey in a prominent location. Interesting. Where is, what are the statues around Parliament? Very interesting. There's one major one. Oliver Cromwell with a lion at his feet, pointing to the lion. Why do the Brits do this, who disavow some of his, you know, anti-religious policies? Because he was not a religious freedom guy like I would be. Why do they appreciate some of the things? I think it goes back to the fact that it gave Parliament and the people a sense of ownership of their own government. They had had enough of these kings that were raping, pillaging, and destroying, and using their so-called divine right of kings to hurt and kill people. Innocent folks, children even, and they were tired of it. It didn't matter anymore to them. And they came to the point where they established the Magna Carta by law, and they have come through thick and thin. And so what I'm trying to say is, over time, they organized and they made sure they kept and upheld the law. And it wasn't always perfect. It's a lot of times messy. We're in a messy stage right now, but we need to uphold the law and the Constitution. And we do that by organizing. We do it by making sure that we elect people in our local towns that honor the Constitution. I mean, how many of us maybe, you know, forget that it starts local? And I'll never forget. I mean, I had the privilege of serving as a town council president, and that was my first experience to be involved in local government, and I realized, wow, there's a huge, huge amount of influence and wasted taxpayer dollars if we're not careful that local officials can take charge of. And within their jurisdiction, they have a tremendous ability to bless the people that are there. And so, I mean, we were able to fix things without raising taxes. We did a lot of good, and I learned a lot in that experience, realizing that it's not just, you know, some boogeyman in Washington. Sometimes it's your local councilman.
I think people forget that. They, you know, they assume, well, okay, well, the presidential election is all rigged, it's predetermined. Well, what about school board? I mean,
right.
It's going to be a lot harder to make the case that every single local jurisdiction in the entire country is predetermined.
Right.
Like, that would be a lot bigger of a conspiracy.
But there are concerns and accusations about that, too, because, you know, all of this absentee voting that takes place. So you can drop a whole block of votes in, and yes, they can just keep counting until they get as many as they want. And who's to say how many of those you can prove? Mm-hmm. But I think you'd have to be an absolute idiot to not think that they haven't accomplished that in some way, somewhere, at some time. And right. We live, and here's the bigger, the broader issues, the kind of thing we often talk about on the Faith Debate Show. I'm persuaded that we live in a now live in a post-Christian, post-modern, post-constitutional country. Mm-hmm. And I say it in that order because I feel like that's the way to really solve it. You know, Adams famously said that, you know, if you don't have a religious and moral people, the Constitution's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And we live in a post-Christian environment right now. So we've got to be better at God converts, but we've got to at least get people steeped in biblical language, biblical ideas, a biblical worldview, so that it becomes part of the, you know, we used to talk about, he's got no common sense. Well, common sense is biblical sense. And so it was common because everybody learned how to read by reading the Bible. So that they were familiar with it. It was the common, you know, vernacular of the day. It's not common anymore. And so now what passes for common sense now is that men can be women, women can be men, right? You know, we can redefine marriage, all those sorts. That's become the common sense. Right. So the church has to step up so that we become less postmodern and get back to reality so that then a legal document like the Constitution can have some teeth. I'm hearing what Daniel's laying down there. It's very frustrating. And you see it in the numbers, right? There have been a number of special elections over the last few years. Voter turnout on the Republican side has been horrible, and so they lost all these ballot initiatives and stuff. 2022, a lot of people expected a red wave. It didn't happen because voter turnout was so low. You look at the primaries so far, they had weather issues, but still, the turnout in Iowa was horrible.
It's almost to the point where they don't have to cheat now because the Republicans aren't even showing up.
And then in New Hampshire, the votes were up, but if you back out the Democrats across lines that vote for Nikki Haley, the Republican turnout was down. So it's depressed everywhere. No, go ahead. Give me the except. I could use some good news. Where's the except?
Without getting into the weeds, that's true in certain areas, but not where there's voter ballot protection, where there's sincere voter protection going on. And this is why we need to never give up the fight. Florida had one of the highest turnouts in the history of Florida in 2022. And yet Maryland allegedly had the worst since 1980 or whatever it was. I'm not here to get into that debate, but I'll say this. When you have secure elections, you see a much more fair field. And I don't know why, but I do think there's some significant problems that are happening that we need to stop. And the way we stop it is we get engaged. And one of the things that Republicans have always said is to overcome the cheating, you have to overwhelm the ballot. And so when Republicans do stay home, and this is why I'm so adamant that you got to go vote, when you do stay home, you're giving them the pass. They want to suppress. Their whole reason, that when I say they, I'm talking about the establishment in D.C. and or just the different liberal establishments around the state of Maryland. They want Republican conservatives and Christians to be pessimistic and to stay home because it's not about whether or not we win. It's about whether we speak. And remember, as Christians, the scripture is very clear that when we speak, it's acting, Paul says, like death to the wrongdoer. It sounds like something in their ears that they despise. And so if anyone is a God-fearing person standing up on what is right, the enemies of all of that is good is going to be opposed to it and want to silence those voices, period. That's why they intend to create pessimism. And the game, you know, is to outsmart them and to get out and overwhelm the ballot. I mean, if you were to have every Republican vote, and by the way, an interesting little fact in 2022, you said that we had such a low turnout in Maryland, and it was like, they don't have to steal it. They didn't have anybody show up. Guess what? We had the highest. Yeah, and that's what it looks like on paper for the general election. But in my primary, we had the highest voter turnout for Republicans in the history of governor races, as far back as I could find through any race. So. And not only that, the highest unity vote, because I got over 52% in the primary.
Yeah,
Larry Hogan didn't come close to that.
I think there's less concern on the primaries because I think the Republicans are hopeful that those will be legit. And there was a lot of motivation to not have Larry Hogan in a dress be our nominee for governor. And so there was a lot of energy in that primary. That was my read on it anyway. It was a clear establishment candidate versus non-establishment candidate, and that got everybody energized. So I get that. But then in the general, it's like, well, the fix is in anyway. But let's assume that it's all. Mm-hmm. Well, you think obviously you can win, you wouldn't be running, wasting your time. So let's assume that we can overcome any sort of margin of cheating and all that sort of stuff, and it's good. Let's talk about the primary and the election moving forward. There was some controversy. I'm not on the in on some of this, but you can't help but notice that Neil Parrott ran twice for this against Trone and lost, and there was some speculation he was going to run again, but you're running. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was preemptive to him running, if you had a conversation. Where are you and Neil these days?
Well, I don't know where Neil is these days, other than I did have a conversation with him. I actually spoke with him throughout the summer and see what his thoughts were. He kept saying that he wasn't decided, and he was just leaning towards, he had a lot of business work he was trying to focus on. He may jump in. I mean, I don't really know. I talked Friday.
He's got to be getting close to a deadline on that.
Yeah, the deadline, I think, is the first week of February.
So by the time this airs, this will
all know. We'll know.
Yeah.
It's going to air in a few weeks.
So I talked to him Friday, and it seems like he may be still considering it. So I don't know. I'm not going to speak for him. I do know that apparently he may have purchased a poll. Somebody told me that a poll went out yesterday. And he had said in his emails that he wanted to do a poll to decide whether he might run. And that's fine. That's Neil, if that's what he wants to do. I'm running to win. I'm not putting my finger to the wind. I'm running as not only a Christian, but as a dad who cares. As this is the moment we have to stand up. It may not be long till we have continued decreased ability to even speak in this country, the way things are going.
Well, we already do have diminished ability to speak in this
certainly.
Country.
But I mean, I'm talking about to the point of things we've never seen before, yeah. Like communist China. Where, you know, if you jaywalk, they find you and they delete your bank account or whatever they do. I mean, they have some severe repercussions in the way they track their individuals. We're moving to a digital dollar. We need to stop that. That's going to be done in 2 years if we don't stop it. They're moving to a system of, digital tracking of people's spending through that digital dollar. They want to do a central Fed coin. All of this has to be prevented, I think. Now, what happens if they push it in anyway, because that's their goal, you know, they're going to, crash our system and shut down our Constitution and remake America. That's what, Obama announced that years ago. He's going to remake America. Well, it doesn't change anything. I'm running to win as somebody who believes in our values, because why? Because these principles don't change, gentlemen. They're going to be here tomorrow. I don't care if communism, I don't care if dictator Xi rolls in here and controls us, we are going to fight for these principles no matter what, and we're going to use all lawful means. And right now, the lawful means is, for me anyway, is to serve as a, hopefully as a servant in my law practice, which I'm doing. And then for me, this is my calling. Everybody has their own calling and fight. And to serve in my church, obviously first, my family first, my church, to encourage and support the community, and to make sure the gospel is being taught, and the next generation is catching the vision for why we believe what we believe. Why do we believe in God? Why do we believe in Jesus? And why do we believe in respecting individual rights? It's because God is our creator. Those are things that are bedrock principles that a lot of kids aren't even getting in our churches nowadays. I mean, they can't even equate sometimes in our Sunday schools the importance of, of politics and government. It's more about social media. And so we are focused on that in our church. And then long term, I think, my service in government has always been simply because I felt like, well, if not me, who? I mean, I've been involved here and there, and this is an opportunity, and not many people know this. Not many people know how to run and to win. And I've been there, I've done that. And I've been working for, my congressman. I worked for Alan Keyes. I worked for various other elected officials, and then, I've won. I was researching the other day. I've won 7 elections to date, I think. So a lot of times people think, well, you lost the big one. Well, maybe so, but if you're looking at it, we're running to win. But the win is not just the taking the oath of office. That's what I'm aiming for. But either way, you win. if you're speaking the truth to power.
Yeah, and I like that perspective. It's similar to some advice I gave to a friend of mine that ran for office years ago and trying to make sure he kept his priorities straight. And it sounds like you are, so I applaud that. Heath Barnes doesn't think you can win. He entered the race and dropped out, and he has thrown his support behind Brenda Cham because he believes that she can win.
I haven't heard him say he doesn't think I can win. He said he would support any Republican.
When he dropped out, he said he's going to be announcing who he'd be supporting.
Yes,
and when he did, it's going to be the person I think can win. So he chose Brenda over you, which tells me he doesn't think you can win. Now, I'm not sure what support or not getting support from a log cabin Republican means or doesn't mean. I have no idea how to calculate all of that. But I don't know, what's your response to his endorsement of what is probably, unless Neil jumps in, probably your primary competitor in the primary?
No, Brenda's a sweet lady. She's not likely to be a strong competitor, I think. Not anything against her. I'm not dissing her campaign, but she's certainly a wonderful lady. Her husband, is, you know, I know them both. She's never been elected before, so this is if she gets elected, it would certainly be a first for her, and that's a detriment to everyone in the race. No one else has been elected. I'm the only official who's been elected, and not just one time, but I was elected town council, I was elected delegate, and not only elected, but they actually haven't. Now Brenda did receive the nomination one time, I think, for the last delegate race, so that was a good thing. But I don't think she had. I'm not sure if she had a competition. I've been in heavy, heavy competition primaries and have beaten all the Republicans. So I'm hopeful that will help me not only to just, you know, to get the nomination, but to beat the Democrat. But Brenda is a nice lady, but she, you know, she has some negatives. She's not going to beat me in the primary because she voted. She's the only Republican that voted to take away due process from police. And I say that with all respect, Brenda, if you hear this. God bless you. You know I love you. I give her hugs when I see her. She's a sweet lady. But she listened to the establishment tell her that in order to win her race in Hagerstown, she has to vote for the Democrat anti-police package, which was horrific. It took away the LOBR, or the Law Enforcement Bill of Rights, and it took away their due process. There's no way the 6th District Republicans will want to have that as a method of representing them, because what it demonstrates is that when the rubber meets the wheel, when the rubber meets the road, I should say, there's a potential that your nominee could end up voting against a primary core value you have.
Well, this district is very pro-police, especially where they have a great relationship with the sheriff. I mean, he gets elected overwhelmingly in the time when there's a blue wave in this county. Right, and of course there's been a whole bunch of smear campaign against him recently in the last several months and so on, but I think he's still very well liked, you know, very popular in the county, and Frederick County seems to be a fairly law enforcement friendly county.
Yes.
So that's a little bit of a different...
I agree, and I think Brenda's a dear lady, but... that's a detriment there. And, you know, some of the other people that are running, they've never been elected. Mariella's a dear friend, but she supported the statehood of Puerto Rico, which is a Democrat mantra. The Democrats would control the Senate ad infinitum if they ever get statehood. And the Puerto Ricans don't want statehood because they get tax benefits. well, and the other guy running, I don't even, nobody knows his name, but he's not even in the district. He lives outside the district, but I digress.
Carpetbagger's not welcome here. So we didn't have time to get into any of this stuff, but I think you're on record supporting the idea of a flat tax. You're a big gun rights guy. You've made mention of abolishing the IRS. Yay.
And very, very pro-life.
Pro-life. Yes. Pushes back against the climate change narrative. Very vocal about the mandates during the whole COVID era of things. Has spoken against the CRT stuff. So there's a lot of good stuff there. Maybe off air, I've got one more thing I was going to ask on there. I'm not going to have time, but I am curious personally what the answer is. So we'll do that after. Sorry. Those are some of the perks and bennies of doing the show yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, but if you have a question for him, you can contact him and ask him.
That's
and
true.
Sure he'll answer
true.
You.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
And and you can do that at coxforcongress.org.
Yes.
The word for congress.org.
And there's a form, and I get those emails, and I do review them. If there's a personal question, I will do my best to respond.
Awesome. And David Forcey, Daniel Rasby, thank you for being on the show as well this week. I'm Troy Skinner. You can visit us online at WFMD.com or my church's website, householdoffaithinchrist.com. Until next week, 167 and a half hours from now, God bless.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.